James chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Get the principle of privacy. Also, maligning grace. Maligning. M-A-L-I-G-N-I-N-G. Maligning grace. And negative Christian businessmen's associations. All right? And why Christian businessmen meet for breakfast and lunch. Coming up in this passage. And what your attitude should be on your job. What you should think about time, motivation, operation, everything coming up. Verse 11 says, speak evil, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Once more, this is one of those verses, again, that you and I are the only ones that know anything about it. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, beginning in verse 11, we have a manifestation of a believer who is negative to the Word of God. This is one of the manifestations. Verses 11 through 17, we have actually principles of production of a grace believer. However, this production is covered from a negative standpoint. Sometimes you learn something positive from the negative. So we start out with verse 11. We'll go slowly. Says, speak not evil one of another. The word for speak not evil is this word that's going to come up three times. Kata laleo. It's present, active, imperative. It's imperative, which means it's a command. Present tense, continuous, active voice, you personally. Laleo means to communicate. Kata is means down, against, according to. When you put the two words together, it comes to mean slander. To talk down or to slander or to talk against. It means to slander, to defame, to speak against someone by maligning them or gossiping. Using your voice to neutralize someone else. Not your fist this time, but your voice. You know, people can neutralize you with their voice, debaters' techniques. Now we have a negative in front of this, which says not, and it's may, M-E. That's the negative. Present active imperative with a negative means they are already doing it. It doesn't say don't do it. It says stop doing it. See, it's a different translation. So these people are already doing it, and James is saying don't. It doesn't say don't start. It says stop it. So the best translation would be stop slandering one another. Now, there are a couple words for one another. We could pick out what this is. Heteros means another of a different kind. That's like marriage. You marry someone of a different kind. I thought I'd put that in. Heterosex. That means you male and female. Now, the word here is allos. Of the same kind. Right? That would be homosexuality if we're talking about that. So it means another of the same kind. Brethren, and another of the same kind indicates this is our believers in the family of God. So the best translation up to this point would be stop, the negative may and the imperative mood, slandering one another, the same kind, brethren, members of the family of God. So this is a sign of negative volition. It can also be a sign of a believer who is ignorant of the word. There are two kinds of negative believers. One, the believer who accepted Christ as Savior and never, ever learned or wanted to learn anything about the Word. He's saved and that's all. That would be about 99% of Christianity. And then, two, the one who did learn something after salvation, but then after they learned something, they decided to go negative. Both are saved. One is negative from the point of salvation, never grows up spiritually. We call them a spiritual moron. They're gone to heaven. They may not even be sure of that. But this passage is dealing with people who have been positive to the word, and there has been some growth, and they have a Jewish background from James chapter 1. At one time, they grew up to the fact that they were heading towards maturity. But for some reason or another, they became negative to the word. And the negative attitude worked its toll. And they lost whatever maturity they had. And so one of the functions now is slander. Now, when a person is a believer and is negative to the word of God, then they become past feeling. There's a vacuum form and emptiness. It's called vanity in Ephesians. False doctrine comes in and attacks the mind. You get into various systems for seeking happiness. False systems of seeking happiness. And this is what we call a frantic search for happiness. This causes the soul to become darkened, blacked out. And with that, the emotions take over and dictate to the mentality of the soul. Now, while you're in that negative process, here's what happens. Try to go slow and see if we can do this. Number one, love, God, is the object of category one love. So what happens when you're negative to the word? You begin to slander. This says slander. We're talking about slandering one another, but this happens also. You begin to slander God. You begin to malign God. You begin to be blasphemous. See, that would be maligning God. And that's the practice of a negative believer. You downgrade God. And you build up something else in God's place. Well, what type of a person would be that? Well, a person who would get involved in idols, or a person who would get involved in religion, or a person who would get involved in details. See, putting something before the Lord. This is also true in other areas. Take, for example, category two love. We'll say in category one love, as far as God is concerned, you slander him by taking on religion or legalism, you know, or some type of an emotional experience, or details of life. You put all of them in front of him, so you're switching out. Now, when it comes to category two, which is marriage, and you have right man and right woman, the right man or the right woman gets the shaft from the opposite member, and they involve themselves in pseudo-love. Now, that's also true in three, which is friendship. You have friends. And true friends get the shaft. And that's the whole maligning area. See, it works all over. So you become socially unfaithful to your friends, for example. And all the things that are involved in making a great deal over people who are inconsequential. You know, we call them IPs. Inconsequential people. This gives you an inconsequential person area. And when it comes to someone, for example, like Paul, who was teaching the word, or Moses, when they were negative to the word, then they begin to malign Paul and Moses and go for false teachers. Now you'll find people that start studying the word and they'll go negative, then they begin to malign that ministry and go elsewhere. So in the negative volition, the true column, God, marriage, friends, someone is communicating the word, is slandered and maligned. This is what some of the believers had been doing, so James says, stop it. Now, if you're ever going to turn away from inconsequential people and things, then they must stop slandering the objects of true love. See, when you go negative to the Word of God, you begin to slander the true objects of love. Negative volition does that. And they must get back on the beam, and this is true of things like the Word. How can you, for example, slander the Word? I don't mean say, tell the Word where to go. That's not the way you do it. It's more subtle than that. You go for experience instead of the Word. You become a holy roller. You get into tongues or having some ecstatic experience in the fire. Or in a closet. You see, whatever it is. See, all those are inconsequential things compared to the Word. So there can be things. It's a part of negative volition. So he says, stop slandering here. It's not dealing with the sin of the tongue as such. The writer has already dealt with this before when he talked about the ship and the horse and the bridle. The sins of the tongue have been covered quite extensively in the previous chapter. In fact, the first half of the previous chapter deals with that in general. But we're no longer dealing with that subject. This is negative volition manifested by sins of the tongue or giving the shaft to the object of your true love. Or as the song goes, you always hurt the one you love. When you're negative to the Word of God, you'll always hurt the one you love. Whether it's the Lord, family, friends, the person communicating, or putting details out of its proper place. So he says, stop slandering one another of the same kind, members of the family of God. Now, following it, there's a principle, and it says, he that speaketh evil. Now, first of all, you had stop slandering. Now you have he that speaketh evil. And that's wrong because it's the same word. That's why I'm going slow. And this is slander too. Speaketh evil is a present active participle of kata laleo. Now you've had that before. This is the second time. So one time he says slander. Now he says speaking evil. So now we're taking up the principle. And it should be the one slandering. Present active participle. Negative volition is a constant series of mental attitude sins followed by sins of the tongue. Mental attitude sins always lead to sins of the tongue, slander, maligning, and gossiping. Here, then, is how some people get their kicks. How does a negative believer get their kicks? This is a rather poor substitute, but this is what many people use for a frantic search for happiness. Some people are never happy unless they are downgrading, bad-rapping, ridiculing, maligning, character assassination of those in their area. And that's a form of playing spiritual king of the mountain. And the principle that you have to learn from this, you cannot build your happiness on someone else's unhappiness. In other words, by putting someone down, you do not put yourself up. When you put them down, you're underneath. That's the point. See, a lot of people try to seek happiness by putting someone else down. Oh, that's so-and-so. He did this. She did that. Meaning that you're better than them. So you're aligning, you're judging that person. By bad rapping someone else, it's assumed that you're better than everyone else. This is how some people enter into a frantic search for happiness. If someone says, boy, I heard something the other day, this guy just communicated this, you know, hey, that's nothing. He's pitiful. You should hear this. See, that's the way it goes. So literally this verse says, the one slandering, habitually slandering, a brother, Adelphos. Now this is good because Adelphos tells us something here. Adelphos is the word for brother, but it's a genitive singular. I only want to bring it out for a reason. Objective genitive. So it refers to a fellow believer in the family of God, but the objective genitive is a little more personal in relationship with the subject than the ordinary accusative case would be. So this means to slander believers who you know in your area, not believers in general. Not like someone who doesn't live in this area. Like saying some of the believers in California do this. But this is someone that you know. So literally, the one slandering a brother, one that you're acquainted with, and judgeth his brother. And this time, we have the pronoun his brother. And we have the word for judging, krino. It's another form of the sins of the tongue. See, one is slander, now another is judging. Slander means to malign people without a basis. I'm going to go slow because these questions come up from time to time. Slander, the first word, kata laleo, means to malign people without having a basis for that. Judging or krino means to have some information, erroneous or not, and use it. And they're both guilty and equally sinful. One is a dumb way to commit a sin of the tongue without any basis. That's dumb. The other is a little bit more intelligent, but they're both evil. To know something wrong about someone and pass it around is judging. Krino. To know something wrong or evil about someone and pass it around, some faked up deal, is slander. You fake something up and that's slander. The other one, you know something and you pass it around, that's judging. So we have both slandering and judging here. Both of them are sins of the tongue. Both of them come from mental attitude sin. So krino means to judge. Kata laleo, used twice now, means to slander, speak against. And both of them are sins of the tongue, and they emanate from the mental attitude sins. Jealousy, bitterness, vindictive, placability, which is a state of mind. That produces vindictive acts such as slandering and maligning. And these are mental attitude sins that manifest themselves in these ways. And when you have true friends and true objects of love on the one hand, and just people with whom you're acquainted in the local church, and both of them receive venom from these sins of the tongue. So now we have a principle in this verse. The one slandering a fellow believer, a member of the family of God, and judges his brother or member of the family of God, speaketh evil of the law. Now we have the third time the word kata laleo. Speaketh evil is the same word again for the third time, kata laleo. And this time, it's the indicative mood, the mood of reality. Now notice this word three times, and I'll see if I can break it down for you. The first time was a present active imperative, plus the negative. They're doing it, stop it. The second time, we have the principle, present active participle. See, not an imperative this time. The participle gives us the principle. They're doing it habitually, because they're negative to the word. That's the principle. The third time is the present active indicative. And the indicative is the mood of reality. This is a real situation in which the principle is taken. So you have the imperative mood, don't do it. Then you have the participle, which sets up the precedent, the habit, and the indicative mood is the reality that it's a real situation that's really going on, and this is where the whole concept comes from. So what does he do when he maligns? Stop doing it, but he's doing it. But what does he do when he maligns and slanders the member of family of God? He slanders, and then you have speak evil of the law. And we have the word for law here, and it's nomos, N-O-M-O-S. Now, there's no definite article in front of the word law, which is nomos. So this means this word law has to be defined, because most people, when they see law, they think of the Old Testament or the Ten Commandments or something like that. But we can tell one thing right now, the absence of the definite article calls attention to the quality of the noun. And this noun, nomos, for the word law, has a very, very high quality. Now, kata la leo has no quality. Krino has no quality. But nomos has quality. See, these are negatives, and this is a positive. And we know that because of the lack of the definite article. And the quality of this word nomos has to be determined in some way, because nomos is used in many ways. The word law is used for the Mosaic law. The word law is used in the old for the Old Testament scriptures. The word law is used for the entire canon of scripture. And the word law is used for the Word of God. Now there's a hermeneutical law which says the meaning of a word is determined by its usage in context. And this context will determine the meaning of the word law. In other words, when you run across this word law here in James 4, you may be reading the verse, you may think automatically Old Testament, or keeping the Mosaic law, or the Ten Commandments. See, that type of thing. But there's a principle that it's determined by its usage in context, and never take it out of context. And the context will determine the meaning of the word law. So before we do that, let's get the rest of this principle, and then we'll get to the word law. And this verse says, the one who maligns or slanders also judges the law. In other words, he becomes a judge of the law. All right, now what is the word law? Number one. To determine the meaning of the word nomos, we must recognize its exegetical setting, which is a noun without a definite article, calls attention in the Greek language to the quality of the noun. In other words, when you have the word son, it's emphasized by not having no definite article. The son would be emphasis in English, but just the plain word son is quality in the Greek language. Therefore, whatever this noun is by definition, it is something of high quality. That's number one that we get from this having no definite article. The second thing is the meaning of a word is determined by its usage in context. And the meaning of a word in the Bible is determined by its first usage in context. And the first use of the word law in context is James 1:25. And James 2:12, which we studied. In other words, if you go back through the book of James, see where it was used first, then you will get the definition of that word. In James 2:12, we have the phrase at the end of verse 12, the law of liberty, which is literally the law of freedom, which is the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God provides capacity for freedom, capacity for love, and capacity for life under the grace of God. Now, freedom is the function of the grace way of life and the law of freedom. And in James 2:12, the believer, through the Word of God, functions freely in the gracious way of life. Now, slander is maligning and judging the principle of freedom in the grace life. Remember that the principle of the grace life is freedom. You have your right and your freedom to live your life before the Lord. You have freedom to love God, You have freedom to serve God. You have freedom to appreciate God, your life under God. And this freedom is based on the Word of God. That's what's mentioned in James 2:12. In James 1:25, we have the other use of the word law. And it uses the same word, nomos, and it says, whoso looketh on the perfect law of freedom. And there, nomos is called perfect law. So the Word of God is the perfect law of freedom, James 1:12. And the Word of God in James 2:12 is the word or the law of freedom. So immediately, we know what this word law is talking about. So James 1:25 and James 2:12, both cases, we have the first use of the word law in context. And in both cases, it refers to the Word of God, the divine viewpoint of life, showing us that it's perfect, and it's that is where our freedom is. Now, mental attitude sins, which sponsor sins of the tongue, these sins of the tongue are an attack upon the freedom of the grace life. And when you malign and judge other people, you are, in effect, attacking the freedom that we all have under the grace way of life. Now, the believer may be everything that you say that he is, and even much more. But every believer has a right as a believer priest to live his life as unto the Lord. And the concept, just for a basic, so you'll remember it, is live and let live. Without any interference from you, or without any interference from them. Exception, children. Exception, people who are in the military. Can't pull that on your drill sergeant. Every believer has a right to his own privacy. To his own master he stands or falls, Romans 14. Every believer has a right to live his life as unto the Lord. Slandering and maligning is in itself a sin. We saw that in the last chapter. But it's more than a sin. It is the believer attacking the freedom that we have in the grace life. It's killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Every time we run down some believer, we undoubtedly do not relate it to the grace of God. Because the object of your maligning, the object of your slander, is not a gracious believer. But he doesn't have to be. He's still in a plan, and the principle for him is freedom and grace. You're attacking that. So you slander someone else. You've actually taken a good kick at the grace life. And yet your objective is to live under freedom that we have in the grace life. And you'll never get with the grace life while you're kicking it around. See, if you're kicking at some other believer, and you're judging or slandering him, then you're kicking the grace life. In other words, if you happen to be a gossiper or a maligner or a slanderer, you're just plain ignorant as well as carnal as well as negative. And this passage says you're negative. The last passage says you were sinful. This is foolish because you're maligning and judging the very basis for your happiness, which is provided for you by the Lord. And the bracket for that happiness is the freedom that we all have in the grace way of life. And so whenever you run down some other believer, whenever you malign some other believer, no matter how much you think they deserve it, no matter how accurately you have put together the facts on them, you are maligning the grace of God. Therefore, this particular sin of the tongue becomes highly offensive, not only to God, but to the entire plan of God the Father. Now, I assume that most of us have, at one time or another, maligned someone else, slandered, gossiped, used our tongues against someone, kata laleo. We have bad rap someone, we put someone down, we have put next to them some information that is not true. We've done that from mental attitude sins, and yet, why are we here tonight, see? Well, we're here to grow in grace by the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's no way that we're ever going to do that while we're maligning other people. Reason? The grace life, which is our goal, we are personally maligning. And we do that by maligning others. Now, that's what this passage is saying. When a believer reaches maturity, the sins of the tongue are controlled. It doesn't mean he'll never have one, but it means they're bridled. They're under control. This passage says, "Stop slandering one another of the same kind, members of the family of God. The one slandering another member of the family of God or judging his brother slanders law and judges law." And judges is the word krino, and again we have the word law nomos. Krino plus nomos, minus the definite article again. And nomos is the law here. And it's the very word of God that brings us to maturity. So the one slandering a member of the family of God or judging his brother slanders the word of God, which would take him to maturity, and judges the word of God and judges the word. So in the three categories of sins, mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, develop a habit of maligning, slandering, judging, gossiping. Always happens. Because in effect to malign others, it sets yourself up upon a pedestal. You've placed yourself there, and in effect maligning and slandering other believers is tantamount to auto-celebrityship. In other words, this is how you make a celebrity out of yourself. You do it with your tongue. You put them down and more or less raises you up. And how do you make a celebrity out of yourself? By running other people down. Well, that's an easy way to do it. Now, again, we have the word law here. There's no definite article. It emphasizes the quality. Nomos, law is high quality. The highest, because it's the word of God, refers to the law of liberty, perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, James 2:12, which is the word of God, which gives you the freedom to serve the Lord, but not just the word of God, but the word of God that's accumulated in your soul, producing the grace life with capacity for freedom, capacity for life, and capacity for love. Now, continuing in the verse, but if, conjunction with a first-class condition, but if you judge the law, and you do, first-class condition. There's the word krino again, it's the word nomos again. If you keep on judging the law, if, first-class condition, and you do. Now, the person here is not saying, the word is horrible, I don't like the word, I don't believe the word. He's not doing that. He's maligning, he's bad rapping, he's run-downing other people. He doesn't even mention the word when he does it. He just simply maligns other believers. And if you malign other believers, you're maligning the word. So it says, but if you keep on judging the word, which means you're slandering someone, you are not. Now we have never. Ook, strongest negative, plus aimi, absolute status quo. You are emphatically not a doer of the law. And now we know that the word law is the word, because we already tied it up with James 1:12 and James 2:12. A doer of the law. A doer of the law is what here then? Keeping the Ten Commandments? Wow. See that? You can figure it out now. A doer of the law is a person who under freedom is living the grace life. That's a doer of the law. In other words, if you are maligning someone or slandering someone, you are not a doer of the word. You're not living the grace life. And so the word nomos here, or law, does not mean Mosaic law. You are not a doer of the law. You never are a doer of the law, but a judge, and the word judge is a critic. The word for critic. So this verse goes like this. stop slandering one another, the same kind, members of the family of God. The one slandering a member of the family of God or judging his brother slanders the word and judges the word. But if you judge the word, you're not a doer of the word, but a critic, which means a negative, maligning believer. You malign the word, the one thing that will make you happy when you malign another member of the body of Christ. And there is a golden egg for you, and you're wringing the neck of the goose before the goose can lay the golden egg for you. That's what you're doing. And when you're doing it with your tongue, he says, stop slandering one another of the same kind, members of the family of God. The one slandering a member of the family of God, or judging his brother, slanders the word, judges the word. But if you judge the word, and you do, you're not a doer of the word, but a critic. That's a negative, maligning believer, opposing the grace of God, which is the only way he can grow. Now verse 12 gives us the true evaluator or the judge. There is the word "aimi." It's a status quo. There keeps on being one lawgiver. And the word "one," you should have that. It's a numeral. What's the word for "one" in the Greek language? H-E-I-S. Eis. This is a reference to God the Father, the source, the ultimate source of the word. See, we have the expression, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Well, that phrase refers to God the Father. There are other phrases, like the voice of the Holy Spirit, is the Word of God in connection with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God connected with the Lord Jesus Christ is not called the Word of God, it's called the mind of Christ. There's nomenclature for each member of the Trinity. So when you have here, there is one lawgiver, and this is the Father. There keeps on being always one lawgiver. Here's what it looks like. Noma thetis. Nomos is the word for law. Thetis is the word for tithemi or pointer. Or there's one person who appoints or designs the word. So we have to translate this. There is one designer of the law. That's not quite correct because it should be translated. One is lawmaker and judge. And again, we have no definite articles. One is lawmaker, which means giver of the law, giver of the word, designer of the word. That's God the Father. He designed the word. And God, the Holy Spirit, puts it into print for us. So literally, one is lawmaker and judge. No definite article. Again, emphasizing the quality of these nouns. God the Father, the author of divine plan, operation, grace. Who, relative pronoun, pertaining to the Father, keeps on being able. Present active indicative of dunamai. D-U-N-A-M-I. That's the word for omnipotence, power. That is a character of God the Father, who keeps on being able to save. Now, we do not have salvation here. See, this is another one of those passages where people pull it right out and say this is salvation. This isn't. We're talking about believers all the way down the line, from verse 1, chapter 1 on. Salvation is not the issue here at all. Don't let any apostate group try to hook you on that. See, this is whole book is talking about believers, hearers, not doers. Nothing to do with salvation. It's an aorist, active participle, and the word is sozo, S-O-Z-O, for the word save, which here is believers who are saved, and so it means to deliver. Now, this is a constantive aorist, which gathers up into one ball every time God delivers us as believers, many times, many deliverances. See, it's not salvation. That would be once. Constantive means many times you're saved. You don't keep getting saved over and over again. So we can show that this is not talking about unbelievers because of the constantive errors and because of the context. This is like daily deliverances. Active voice, God does the providing of the deliverances. Infinitive, it's God's purpose to deliver you after you've been saved. Isn't that interesting? All the time. There's a lot of the ways in which the Lord delivers us, we're not even aware of it. So he has the power, this verse says, to constantly deliver us daily after we have accepted Christ as Savior. It's constantive. And then the next word, and to destroy. Aorist active infinitive again. And this is the word. Here's the word for deliverance, sozo. And here's the word for destroy, apolumi. And this is the first hint as to what happens to a negative, judging, slandering believer. This is the next phrase. Apolumi means to destroy or to put to death. It's a reference to the judgment of a negative believer with his sin unto death in mind. Remember, if a believer is negative for a long period of time, has a lot of mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, maligning, judging, if he continues that way, he'll go home before his time. That's this phrase here. Now, there's a principle here, see? And James is saying, stop doing this. If you find yourself maligning or gossiping or judging, you know you're out of it. And if you continue, you're going to go home soon. So quit it and get back in fellowship and live and let live. See how practical the book is. So there's a principle here. If you persist in negative volition, you'll end up dying the sin unto death. Now, in this context, maligning and slandering is a warning. See, it's just a warning. Persistent maligning, persistent slandering, bad rapping everyone else, so that you are, as it were, on top of the mountain, spiritual king of the mountain, is a sign that you're negative. If you persist, you will not only fall off that spiritual mountain, but you'll wind up at the bottom of the hill dead. And that's what happened to Saul, King Saul. Saul couldn't stand anyone else being as popular as he was. And when he heard that song, that Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands, you see, that was quite a hit tune in that day. Well, that hit tune drove Saul right up the wall. And so he began to malign David. And then he sought his life. Why? He was negative to the word, and he couldn't stand competition. In effect, he was guaranteeing that he would go into his own death in a bad way, which was discipline of the sin unto death. So this verse is very important. It says, one is lawmaker and judge. We don't judge people. There is someone who does. Who is always able to both deliver and destroy. Now here are believers in this passage. And they got a chance here. He can deliver them out of this negative volition, or he can take them home. See, here's a chance to exercise free will. Now, deliverance here, sozo, is the first hope for the negative believer in context. If you're still alive and you're reading this verse, and you're negative, you can recover. See, we're on a positive again by this little word. Recovery is just confession of sin and growing in grace. We'll handle that a little further on in the context. But if you don't want to do that, if you persist and you ignore these things, then you're going to face maximum discipline, the sin unto death. And then the verse says, who are you? And that's not correct because there's no who here as such. It's really an interrogative pronoun. And it says, you, who are you? The you is the strong word here. You, who are you judging someone in your area? Present active participle of crino again, with an interrogative pronoun. This is designed to awaken the believer to the fact that he's negative. You, Why are you judging someone in your area? You're totally out of line. The same concept is handled again in Romans 14. But this time it's handled from the standpoint of you destroying the freedom of someone else by judging. When you judge someone else, you take away their freedom. And yet they have a right to their freedom. See the perfect law of freedom. You have no right to judge them. They have a right to their privacy. They have a right to their privacy, whether it's failure or success. You have no right to evaluate or judge them. So this verse says, but you, who are you judging another? But the word another, remember I told you the two words before? This is why the language is so great. Allos, of the same kind. Heteros, of a different kind. And this word here is an adverb. And the translator messed it again. And this is the word, P-L-E-S-I-O-N. Now, it's neither one of these and others. And it has a definite article here. And it means neighbor. So it means believers in your area. In other words, the believers here that you judge are the believers that you know. Or believers in your area. So we have to translate it. One is lawgiver and judge. He's able to deliver or destroy. That's God's prerogative to do that, not ours. But you, who are you judging a believer in your periphery? Now we have to stop right here because this is a particular area of a situation. And we know the general category which has been covered. The area of manifestation of negative volition has been social life, see? Judging and maligning is generally a part of social life. It's a social sin. Judging, maligning, bad rapping, gossiping, sins of the tongue are actually social sins. And from that, we go to a completely different area where we have in verses 13 through 15, the negative believer operates in the area of business activity. Or the question, can you be in business and still grow in grace by the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ? Or what about the Christian businessman? Now, there are five eras when it comes to people in business. Now, when I say business, I mean not only owners of a business, any Christian who's working, period. So in verses 13 through 15, we say, what is our attitude working on a job? Or owning a business, management, labor, or whatever. Grace in business. And I like the way it starts. It says go to, but it doesn't say where. Go to. See what I mean? You can put another word in there. This is actually a word which started out to be a verb, present active imperative of ago, A-G-O. And it means to go. And here we have it in the imperative mood, which means a command to go, go to. Eventually, it came to be a particle of interjection and a particle of exhortation. And it should be translated, come now, not go to, but come now. As a particle of interjection, it means to go to you know where. You know, we have an idiom in the English language, but we can't consign anyone to hell. Do you ever remember when you tell someone to go there, you can't make them go there? You know, God's the only one that can do that. And he only consigns unbelievers, you know. So if you tell a believer to go there, he can't. But this idiom of ours has become an interjection, which means a short phrase for a word which expresses displeasure or antagonism or desire to have one's privacy. When you say go to hell, it doesn't mean to go to hell. It just means to get away from me, stop bugging me, or leave me alone. But this is a particle of exhortation here, and it should be translated, come now. Or you could say, or I say now. So this verse starts out, come now, ye that say, present active participle of lego. You who say. Now, who says what? Who say that when I say that? In other words, we have certain believers who are negative to the Word of God, whose problem is money. And by that I mean not lack of money. I mean an inordinate desire for money lust. These believers are negative. Now you can check immediately if you have a money problem or if you want money badly. Now that's all right, provided you're not negative. If you're negative, you're in trouble. We now have a description of a negative believer involved in business activities. I call it Christian businessmen. By business activities, I mean making money. And I mean lots of it. It is the negative believer who has an unusual fondness for money who gets into the category of slavery to the details of life. Every believer who is mature or is heading toward maturity has mastery over the details of life. But when that believer goes negative to the Word and loses his maturity and stability, then the mastery which he had over the details of life is replaced by slavery to the details of life. See, if you're taking in the Word, you're growing fine. You put the details in the proper place. You're not dependent upon them for your happiness. When you go negative to the Word, see, you've lost your capacity and your stabilizer. Now you elevate the details to be the slave over your life. They're tremendous servants, details, but they're cruel taskmasters. Now I'm talking here about, in business, male or female, someone who's a slave to the details of life. You don't have to be successful in business, but you don't have to be at that stage of negative volition where the mastery of the details of life have been destroyed. And when it's destroyed, it's replaced by slavery to the details of life. That was the principle with Balaam. Balaam was this kind of a person. He was a slavery to the details of life as part of his negative volition. Now, we've already covered another area of social sins of the tongue, which is grace orientation. Look, if you're a believer and you become grace oriented, you appreciate grace, you treat other people's in grace. That's shot when you begin to malign and you begin to judge people. You're not grace oriented anymore. You don't treat them in grace. So grace orientation is gone when you slander or gossip about people. Then, for example, suppose you have a relaxed mental attitude. That's gone too when you slander and you gossip and you judge and you malign people. Now, as a result of that, you also lose the mastery over the details of life when you do that. And now you become a slave. So in this case, we're losing the mastery of the details of life. We have slavery to the details of life. And this verse says, come now, you who say. Now, this is what certain negative believers who are slaves to the details of life, who are like Balaam, who want money, lots of money, unusual amounts of money, for no particular reason, these people say, notice, today, adverb, S-E-M-E-R-O-N. That's the word for today. And then they say, tomorrow, orion. Tomorrow is an interesting word in the Greek language because it means sunrise. Now this phrase introduces to us today or tomorrow. Introduces to us a negative believer occupied with details of life, object money, to the exclusion of everything else. The sun comes up and he's looking at life from the slavery standpoint and he thinks that's an opportunity to make money. So he's occupied with making money under negative volition. So he says today or tomorrow. This does not connote, for example, another day in which he's interested in taking in the Word, but another day for the opportunity of making a bundle. So the negative believer says this, the sun comes up tomorrow, well, I'm going to go somewhere and make a mint. The believer who is growing in grace and has the mastery of the details of life and is grace-oriented has a relaxed mental attitude, wakes up, or says the sun comes up, I'm still here, I'm going to get the word before I get the details. And I'm going to get all the word of God I can get tomorrow. Now that's the difference in attitudes here. It says today or tomorrow. And that presents to us the beginning of an attitude. Now you can check yourself out. When you get up in the morning, what do you say after you say, ugh? You say, well, you know, I got to make a bundle today. Is that your thought? Or where is your thinking, you know? Instead, in the life of a believer, being another day in which God has really graced us out, and thinking about, boy, I'm looking forward to some of the principles in the Word. Here you have a negative believer looking at each day from the standpoint of a slavery. He's a slavery to the details of life. Now here it is, and when you're a slave to the details of life, you face every day with an attitude of slavery. If you have the mastery over the details of life, you face every day with the attitude of freedom. So it's details or doctrine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so this person is frustrated because he lacks money with which to acquire things. So he says, today or tomorrow. And then he has an editorial, we will go. Time's almost up, but I have to give you this one. We will go is a future active indicative. I want to give you this word. Peru-o-mai. That's the word we have for we will go. Now, this word, peru-o-mai, is a flea. F-L-E-A. And this is a flea going from one spot to another in a hurry. Dog scratches, and he jumps up to the dog's neck. The dog rubs his neck against the tree, and the flea jumps back on his tail. The dog rolls in the dirt, and he gets on the dog's stomach. And he flattens out on the stomach in the dirt, and the flea gets back on his back. See, that's what this word is. Peru-o-mai, going from one place to another. It's a negative Christian businessman. Today, tomorrow, I'm going to go. It's indicative of instability. The flea never finds a permanent home. And the unstable believer never finds a permanent home. The choice of locale is based on the intake of the Word of God to the grace believer. But to the negative believer, the choice of locale is where he can make a bundle. And where is the best opportunity? So today or tomorrow, this guy is running around trying to find out where he can make a bundle instead of taking each day as unto the Lord. One day at a time, see? And a chance for the word. This person says, we'll hop from one place to another. So it says, we will go, future act in the indicative, in such a city. We'll have to take it up next time. And we'll go to such a city, and we'll stay there for a year. Then we'll go to another city and stay there for a year. And this guy is just looking for a bundle. It's all according to which city will do it, instead of looking to where he can get the word. So you know what his attitude is. How many people did you know have moved from one place to another because of business or money, and they're in trouble? They leave a place where the word is taught to a place where there isn't. What is their attitude? Here they are. The wicked flee. Isn't that interesting? So this is the businessman. So when you face your business activities, why, you have to examine yourself. What are you there for? Is that a detail, or is that a where your happiness comes from? Are you looking forward to making a lot of money or some status somewhere? Or is the detail first over the Lord, or what is it? Are you living one day at a time? Are you saying, well, I have to go to this city because there's no jobs here? Or are you saying, well, I'll stay there a year and then if it doesn't work, I'll go over there for a year. And you don't even consider the Lord. See, there's a timing factor there. There's a motivation. There's a geographical. There's an operational error. There's about five errors in that statement. We'll take them up all next week. It's an interesting passage. Father, we thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity of studying your word. Being able to have the word available in our own language. Having God, the Holy Spirit, as our teacher and guide so he can explain these things to us and make them a reality to us. We're thankful that we have people who are interested in the word, who are like-minded, want to know what the word has to say, looking at it as our criterion, our viewpoint, making decisions based on it. We don't know what we'd do if we didn't have the word whereby we could regulate our lives and make some decisions because of all the things, clamor and the clutter that's around and all the confusion. We wouldn't know how to make decisions and choices. But we're thankful that you have the wisdom and you've provided grace and are faithful to give us the information so we can face each day looking at it from the divine viewpoint, not from the human or the satanic viewpoint. We're thankful you saved us, you keep us, this constitutive arrest of deliverance, even though we're not aware of it. We're thankful we can put details in their proper place and we can be masters over them and not in slavery to them. We know that that's one of the worst slaveries in the world. We're thankful for deliverances like that. We thank you for them. In Christ's name, amen.